IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of Viewpoint from IRIB English Radio. Today we are here with you with a discussion with some scholars in the studio with me on negotiations and the war, ongoing war between Iran and America. So before starting our discussion, I would like to welcome the brothers who are here in the studio with me. Sheikh Ahmed, salam alaikum. Welcome, dear Sheikh.
Salam alaikum. Thank you.
And Sheikh Liaqat, assalamu alaikum. Thanks for accepting the invitation.
Thank you so much.
If we want to actually count and number the, mm-hmm. I mean, whatever we achieved, I think it's a long list.
Very.
Like whatever we achieved from this, I mean, the blessings of this war were plenty. Yes, we missed a lot. I mean, we missed our leader. We missed all those sinless people,
there.
No sinless daughters in that school in Minar and other, citizens. But whatever we gained, alhamdulillah, through Allah's Allah's blessings, were much more than what we lost.
I think we have lost them for sure in the physical appearance. Like we can't meet. Our martyred leader, even the mothers can't meet their daughters, but even this is also a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has granted them the position of martyrdom, that they are alive forever.
Very
like
true.
You see, even this is also a big, like the 168 girls have been recorded and they will remain in history forever. Like, people will remember those 168 girls. And I would definitely console the mothers and, like, the parents of the martyrs of Minab. And, of course, all the other children who were killed brutally. And it's very painful when when I have read the news that 40% of the martyrs were not recognized, like, by their appearance because of the intensity of the missile which the American and the Israeli regime has used. They were not recognized, and the only way to recognize the body of the martyr was through the DNA test.
Very
so true. This is very painful, like, for a father, for a mother. Like, alhamdulillah, I have children. I can understand the intensity of the pain. You see, but the thing is, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them in return is that Allah will make them be remembered for a very long run. Maybe until, inshallah, until the time of the reappearance of the Imam of the time. And inshallah, these very girls, the martyr Minab school children, will be resurrected when the Imam is going to reappear.
Inshallah, the blood of these martyrs will give a very powerful life to this ummah and the whole Islamic ummah, inshallah. And it will be a good preparation stage for the arrival of Muhammad alayhi salam. Oh, dear Sheikh Ahmed, look, we have seen what role the neighboring countries played in this war. I mean, unfortunately, so sad to say that Muslim countries, unfortunately, I mean, they helped the enemy of the Islamic ummah while they were silent, in the same way that Gaza or Palestine was under pressure. They were silent and did nothing. But when they, again, Americans and Israelis started to attack Iran, they came to their front. And when we actually attacking them and the bases of America in the region, they come to even respond. So we have to say the Islamic leaders, well, sometimes we might say, okay, leaders and let's say administrations are different with the nations. Yes, we have to, I think we have to differentiate between these two. To my own understanding, even the nations are different from the leaders because they are not, I mean, democratically chosen leaders. I mean, they have come to power by force and support of these so-called superpowers. So we have to say something to these Islamic ummah in these countries first. And even some other, these are the southern neighbors of ours, and again in our northern neighbors like Turkey and Azerbaijan, and that they actually believe in this, let's say, and they trust in what has been said to them earlier. They have to know that the next victim will be they themselves. they should believe to what we are telling them. When we have been talking to Turkish administration, let's say 10 years ago, that, okay, don't let this Syria to be at the hand of Israel. They did not listen to us. Now they know that the next victim will be... I want all the listeners, whoever is listening to us, know that very soon, Israelis go to Turkey and they will do whatever they like to do. So what should be our word to them, to the people and the leadership of these countries in the neighboring country? There is a time to correct their policies and their reactions, and because we know that the war is ongoing and it will continue. I mean, this is something temporary, as you said at the beginning of this show. What should be their reaction? I mean, we can, at least as a scholar, Islamic scholar, you can have some advice to them. What could be this advice and this statement?
Yes. So we see that I would refer back to what Maulana Tariq Jamil said, that for a period of 300 years, our countries were oppressed, our countries' resources were exploited, the people were dehumanized, their dignity was played with. And so we see that if we as Muslims are true to our Prophet, we are true to our Quran, we are true to our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to understand that Islamic unity is the thing that is going to save us from this mess. And we can speak with the people more easily, and the people, their hearts throb with the Islamic revolution and the policies of the Islamic revolution, because we are standing with Palestine, we are standing with the oppressed people of Lebanon, we are standing with the oppressed people of Yemen, we are standing with the oppressed people of Iraq. And people have seen this from the Islamic revolution. So, and they have also seen that these Arab nations could not even do this much, that those people who were being genocided, the people of Gaza,
yeah,
they couldn't even provide bread for them. They couldn't even send some trucks for them, because their overlords in America and Israel would not permit
them. Like what Egyptians did, they closed the borders of Rafah?
Yes.
But
Rafa.
Now when the war happened between, I mean, Iran and Israel, they opened the borders for Israelis to go there and from Egypt to fly back to
yes.
Europe.
So
how Islamic Ummah wants to digest this? Yes, go ahead.
So we see what has happened is that, as you also realize, that these leaders are not elected or appointed by the people of those countries. These leaders are appointed on the goodwill of the Western powers. All of them have either been supported by these Western powers, and mainly America is in the process of supporting their regimes. So all of them are, in the eyes of the people of those countries, they do not have any legal or democratic right to rule over their countries. So we see that the major country that they are serving are the foreign leaders that have supported them. And it has gone to such a level that for 70 years, 60 years, 50 years, these people have been supported by these powers. And now it is very difficult for them to see the reality, a new emerging power in the region, because you have to realize that the reality is there. You have to change course, and changing course is always painful. You have to stop those coalitions, and if they change course now, they see that if they have good relations with, for example, the Islamic Revolution, those people would get rid of them and support coups in their countries.
Awesome.
So it is a difficult decision for them as well, but the reality is there. We have the people's support, and this is what we need. We have, as the Islamic Revolution has always said, that we are not against our Arab brothers. We are not against our Egyptian brothers. We are not against our Turkish brothers, but we are against giving bases to Israel. We are against giving bases to America.
And we have seen the functionality of these bases for these people themselves.
Yes.
Did they work for them or not? I mean,
basically,
did they for their own benefit or for the benefit of others?
You are paying billions and billions of dollars.
What for?
And when the moment comes to defend you, they are the reason that your countries are being attacked.
And then when they ask America to support them completely, they say, no, Israel is more important for us. Again, America wants to charge them again. They said, okay, give us that much money to support you more, to give you more weapons. So in case they are going to charge you, why don't they charge the Israelis likewise? I mean, while it comes to the, it's the turn for Israelis to pay, they don't pay. I mean, they give them everything. I mean, they give some, I mean, they give them their loans and they give lots of aid to Israelis. But when it comes to support you and through the bases that they have in your region, in your countries, they say, okay, give us that much amount. I mean, they want to charge you again to support you. So did they work for you? I mean, these bases work for you? Alhamdulillah, we see that in Arab world, recently we have seen a movement from the thinkers. They just come up with these questions. Are they suitable for us? These bases work for us or no? Yes. I mean, it seems so.
Yes, this is one another positive of the war. That earlier, when we would say that America is not going to support you or is not going to benefit you, these bases.
This is what the martyred leaders said.
This is the martyred leaders' actual words as well. That these bases, when the time comes, the crunch time comes, these bases are not going to support you, but they are going to be for your disadvantage.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what has happened. And people can realize that with their own eyes, they have seen it now. And so we realize that either the elites of the Arab world decide to realize this new reality. We build together for a prosperous Muslim brotherhood. We build together for the entire humanity and not for the Epstein class, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Because right now, what is happening is that a few thousand or maybe a million people are ruling over the entire globe and making the rest of us subjugated to their will.
Yeah.
Right. And even the American people are the oppressed people. Even we can say the Arab people are oppressed people. Many in the, for example, Zionist territories are oppressed. But what a few of the leaders are deciding, as you correctly mentioned, the Epstein class.
Yeah.
They are all connected. They are all controlling big companies. They are all making decisions for us. And whenever they see independent nations, they are going to attack them.
Very true. Thank you. They want to falsely change the image of this war as a war between Shia and Sunnis, but in reality it is not.
Alhamdulillah, look, they have not been successful.
Alhamdulillah, yeah. And then I have seen a quote from Minister of Foreign Affairs of Saudi Arabia that once he said, I mean recently, that how come an Islamic country and attacks another Islamic country? This is a question that we had from you almost 12 years or 18 years, almost 12 years ago when you attacked Yemen. So how could you justify that war that you attacked Yemen without any reason? Okay, dear Sheikh Liaqat, suppose that, God forbid, I mean, they get succeeded in their mission in the region and Iran is collapsed. Okay, let's imagine.
Just,
I mean, the imagine of this.
Just supposing.
And inshallah, bidnillah, they will never ever get succeeded in such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens after, I mean, getting the dominance on Iran and their control on Iran, what happens? What will be the next step for them? Do you think that this is the end of it? Or it goes through to a breakdown inside Iran and then it goes, because they are after, I mean, they said, I mean, this is what they declared officially. Mm-hmm. They are going to go towards Great Middle East. So what is this Great Middle East that they are talking about?
Mm-hmm. The Great Middle East project, which is the project of Israel in reality, is that they want to control the whole region.
Yeah.
Okay, so they want to control, and the normalization with the Arab countries is for the sake itself.
Yeah.
So that they first make friendship with them, and then they
deal
cut their hands.
Deal of century, this normalization through deal of century.
Yeah, that's what actually happened even in Palestine, you see. They have come on good grounds, on goodwill. We are going to be good human beings with you. And then after shaking hands, they have cut the hands of the Palestinians. Like, basically, they have betrayed them, what I mean is, yeah? So the same is going to happen even with the Arab countries and the normalization project. And if you have seen the Greater Israel map, it has a bit of Turkey, it has Syria, it has Iraq, it has like Saudi Arabia, you see? And no, they are not going to be satisfied even just with this thing. They're going to extend their scope until the whole of region probably. And if they can, they definitely will. So just like if you're saying, God forbid, that the Islamic Republic is going to collapse and there's going to be a regime change, then we can expect like the whole whole of Iran is going to be dissected, like it is going to be divided into parts. And this is one of their, they have openly said this, this is one of their goals and missions, that they want to divide the whole of Iran. So it's the concept of divide and conquer and divide and rule. Yeah, yeah. The concept.
No, I want to say, is there a stoppage for them? I
mean, they are not going to stop.
So what would be the next?
So they will go until even the mid the eastern countries. This will be the next step, okay? Just like, this is the new, I would say this is new colonization project, okay?
Yeah.
Before, they used to stay over there and they used to control like India. They have divided India and Pakistan, okay?
Yeah.
And we have to see the consequences even in today's world.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala adana min al-humaqa. That is, thanks to Allah, praise to Allah, that has actually chosen, that has made our enemies among the stupid ones.
Indeed.
They declare something officially, that if Muslims just listen carefully and they understand what is going to happen, they say that, okay, we are not going to stop in Iran. The next victim, the next target would be Turkey. The next would be, I mean, these Arab countries think that, okay, they are not going to come towards them. No, you have got energy. You are a good, good mouthful for them. I mean, you are a good target for them to come towards you.
Definitely.
Yes, they want to control you. Mm-hmm. They are not going to suffice with Iran only. Yes, Iran will be dissected, will be actually put into pieces. Then they don't want any power, since they don't want any power to stand in front of them. Turkey believes that he has some power. They said, okay, Turkey should be suffocated. Then other countries, they come one by one. They want to have, they're not going to suffice with what they are doing now. So we have been telling the whole Islamic Ummah, what we are doing in Syria is not to back Bashar Assad as a president.
Mm-hmm.
No, we are in front of this because we understood the threat before you come to this understanding.
And you know what? I think it's a very logical game which they are playing, and that is to attack the Islamic Republic first, in the first place, than to attack the Arab countries.
Yeah.
Why? Because they know this for sure, that if we attack one of the Arab countries, be it Qatar or Bahrain or even Saudi Arabia, okay, one day it comes that Israel has attacked, or even America has attacked Saudi Arabia, the Islamic Republic of Iran and the resistance is going to stand with them because they're on the oppressed side. Okay, so there's a reason, like if they attack another Arab country, like be it UAE or be it Oman or any other country, the Islamic Republic's resistance groups are going to support them. So what they want is to first take away the Islamic Republic. They want to first divide and conquer, and they want to first, dissolve the resistance of the Islamic Republic. And then they want to control. But to be frank, this is never going to happen. Right now, it's impossible. Have you seen that Jan Fada, like the website?
Yeah.
MashaAllah, like 30 million people.
Yeah.
This is like impossible happening into today's world. Like,
definitely. But we can imagine whatever is impossible, right?
Yeah, of course. We can still imagine. So,
but we need to enlighten the Islamic Ummah even in our vicinity first. We are not your enemy. We are actually shaking our hands. We are shaking our hands for you, and we are waiting for your hands to come. Look, we are not your enemy. We are actually seeing something that you are not seeing now. We are understanding something that you will understand 10 years later, like what you did in Syria and the mistake that you... Now, Turkey understands what a big mistake it did in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
They will see and they will taste whatever they did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much, dear brother, Sheikh Ahmad. Thank you, dear Sheikh Liaqat. Many thank you very much, and for this beautiful involvement and contributions of yours. We had a good discussion, dear brothers and sisters, on this Ramadan war, that is American-Israeli war against Iran, and the temporary ceasefire, and all these ongoing discussions on negotiations and so on and so forth, and different news and analysis that goes viral in these days in the resistance battlefield. I hope that this discussion was beneficial, and as I myself benefited from the explanations and answers and descriptions and explanations of the brothers here in the studio, I hope that you enjoyed and you found it quite informative. Thank you very much for staying tuned and listening to us. Till our next time, I'll leave you in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا.